I'm Dean Newland, and welcome to the Business of Intuition, where I coach, facilitate, train, and speak on the hard science and meaningful experience of intuitive leadership in business, so you can make better decisions, forge real connections, and creatively solve problems to amplify your impact and simplify your life. Welcome to the Business of Intuition.
I recently heard that about 25% of all U.S. restaurants will not reopen, that they will actually close up for good due to the economic downturn caused by the recent COVID-19 pandemic. That's a lot of people without a work. That's just in the restaurant industry alone. Some of those people are going to try to get jobs in other restaurants. Some of them are going to try to get to other industries. But I think a lot of them are going to try to start their own business. But here's the problem. Starting your own business for somebody who's never done that before feels like a very big task, even Herculean to some degree. Often when you start in your own business, you have to have a lot of capital to get it up and running. But there's three different kinds of small businesses that don't have those kinds of barriers to entry. And they are network marketing, multi-level marketing, and direct sales. My next guest is Jenny Bellinger, who's actually an expert in these three different types of small businesses. In fact, she's built a very successful coaching practice helping these entrepreneurs get off the ground and become successful. In my interview with her today, Jenny is going to explain four different things. One, what is the difference between these three different areas, network marketing, multi-level marketing, and direct sales? Two, she's also going to give us what's the recipe for being a successful small business owner? What kind of things can we expect? What sort of surprises do people sometimes run into? Number three, she's also going to help us understand what kind of lessons do these small business owners learn that the rest of us should be paying attention to, meaning those of us who work for somebody else. In particular, she starts getting into a conversation with me about how valuable it is to be able to understand and respond to rejection. And of course, the age-old adage that working hard and working smart is going to be useful for whoever we are in whatever business we are in. And also, number four, she's going to talk to us about decision-making. When all decisions are your own, as it would be for yourself if you were a small business owner, nobody else is going to make those decisions, then what role does intuition play in that entire process? Jenny Bellinger on the Business of Intuition. All right, so Jenny, I know that you are a sales coach, but you work in the kind of at least three different domains. So I wanted to start off by sort of demystifying what is direct sales? What is network marketing? What is multi-level marketing? Those are three terms that I keep hearing interchanged back and forth. Could you sort of unpack what those all mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, a lot of times when I'm out in the world, I also use them interchangeably because I recognize that people just don't know the difference amongst the three of them. So direct sales tends to be more of the party based. You are going to someone else's house, or people are coming to your house, or you're going somewhere and having an event. So you are selling one to many, right? So it might be three people, might be five people, might be 20 people, right? One to many, direct sales. The network marketing is one-to-one sales. So that tends to be companies that are more in the health and wellness space. Just because how many people want to say they're going to a party for fat people who need to lose weight? Nobody wants that. So
where are you going, hon?
Right. Exactly. It's not going to go well.
Yeah.
So the network marketing tends to be a one-on-one conversation. Maybe you go talk to a couple who are trying to get healthier together. But for the most part, you're not going in and selling to 10, 15, 20 people at a time. You're going in and having individual conversations. It's truly network marketing, right?
Got it. Yeah.
Instead of going in into a group of people. And then MLM can be either one of those business models, but the difference with MLM is they allow the representative, when they get a direct recruit. So let's say I were to recruit you to my team.
Right.
In about 30 or 60 days, depending on the company, I have the option to keep you as a direct recruit under me, or I can move you under someone else on my team. You're yep. still in my organization, but I can put you anywhere. So if there's, let's say I have another leader who is this close to hitting the next rank and all she needs is the $500 in sales that you're averaging so far, I can pop you under her. I still get paid on you, right. but now she ranks up because she's got a team member who's hitting that extra $500 in sales that she needed in her group volume to rank up. So multi-level, you can move people around because you've got right. multi-levels.
Yes. So with the people that you work with and you coach, is this their first foray into being a business owner, or do you find that they've done many businesses and this is just another one that they're taking on?
I would say a vast majority of my clients, this is their first time running a business. Okay. Most of them have come from a service-based industry, such as nursing, teaching, ambulance driver, you know, you show up, you do what you're supposed to do, and then you clock out, you go home. You're not worried about running the ambulance company. You're not worried about running the school. You're not worried about running the hospital. You're not in the business. You're taking care of your patients, your students, your, you know, patients again, for the three examples I gave, right? You're taking care of those people, but you're not in the business of running the business. So oftentimes this side gig, and also because in many of those cases, sometimes those people are not making a ton of money. So this direct sales or network marketing or multi-level marketing business is a second stream of income and a whole new learning curve for them.
All right. So I'll get to that in a second. But do you find that most of the people who are doing this are doing it as a second business, or some of them jumping ship and getting into it full time?
There's a little bit of both, right? Okay. Some people, I would say a vast majority of people who are in it that I run across are people who have either a part-time or full-time job already. And this is, you know, I mean, right now we are really, even pre-COVID, we were in the middle of a gig economy. We had Uber drivers, DoorDash drivers, you know, people were doing some extra things on the side for a little extra money to pay for their vacation, to do whatever. And with this particular case, it's just network marketing, direct sales, MLM has been around a lot longer. And so, you know, there are a lot of people who recognize it as an option. So they are going into it with the hope of making a little extra money. But the ones who I'm working with typically tend to be people who are wanting to get into it to replace that income.
Got it. Okay. Very good. So what's the big aha that people didn't expect when they start doing this?
Ooh, that's a
good question.
I had
no idea it would be this, whether it be good or bad, but what you sort of indicated that there was this whole new learning curve.
Oh, yeah.
Well, working for the parent company to my own side gig. What's the stuff that people never realize when they get into this?
So here's the thing. Many of them have been told it's easy. Right? And it's a business, which let's be honest, a vast majority of businesses, whether you're direct sales, whether you're a coach, whether you're a, you know, content marketer, nothing we do in business is actually hard to do. The hard part is that you have to keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And people get bored or they're like, man, I don't like hearing no, you know, I didn't know I'd hear no so much. I'm like, yeah, that's part of sales. And so it's, you know, it's getting past the business is hard. You know, it really does take a certain someone who's ready to handle that entrepreneurial mindset and go, you know what, I'm ready and willing to do the work right now. So I'm ready to work now the way few people will, so I can live a life that few people ever get to later.
Okay. So this, hopefully this isn't a bad analogy here, but I'm thinking about, say, a Mormon religion that has in its practice for young people to go on a mission, right? And they spend a couple of years knocking on a lot of doors and doing a lot of work, right? And they often turn out that they would reflect back that they've learned some really important skills that help them in other parts of their life, you know, a work ethic or being able to accept rejection and not let that derail you. What do people learn in these three areas, network marketing, multi-level marketing, or direct sales, that those of us who are in the business of somebody else, the bigger company, I'm the employee, that I would be smart to learn that. I mean, what's the lesson that these people are that could be teaching those of us who are still working for larger companies?
I'd have to say, you know, it's true. I mean, this is nothing new. This is something, you know, what Jesus said back in the day, you know, go the extra mile, because these people, keep in mind, they're people in the direct sales commission-based industry. The first few years that they're doing it, they're not typically making a ton of money because they're number one going through that learning curve. So they're having to really go above and beyond for a pittance of money. The money really comes later when you've built this, not only a huge customer base, but you've also built a large team of other people who've built a huge customer base and so on and so forth down the line. So it's understanding that you're willing to do the work now, be patient. It reminds me of that. What's that study that they did with 4-year olds? Do you remember? Have you heard about that? The marshmallow?
Oh, the marshmallow thing, right.
The marshmallow study, right? So I'd be willing to bet that if you went and looked at any of those kids who went through the marshmallow study, the ones who were willing to wait to eat the marshmallow probably are the same kind of people who do really well in network marketing or direct sales.
And who also can do very well in leadership positions and in companies, because they got such good emotional intelligence, they can delay their own gratification because they're building something for the future.
Yeah, exactly. They're letting the vision pull them along. And I think for somebody who's in corporate America saying, you know, I'm willing to go above and beyond now in the current job that I'm in, rather than just, you know, we hear it all the time, dress for the job you want, not for the job you have, right? Yeah, yeah. So that applies not just to how you dress, that applies to every aspect of you showing up for work. You know, before you show up for, or before you clock in, show up and ask the manager, what do you need done before I clock in? Then clock in, do what you're supposed to do, clock out, and then, okay, is there anything you need done before I leave? That little bit of above and beyond, that's the kind of stuff that direct sales and network marketing people are doing for zero pay unless someone buys something.
Right, right. Because again, if you're working for a large company, you get rewarded every time you see that paycheck, whether or not mm-hmm. necessarily you created any value or not. I mean, that's sort of the contract. But what this is sort of teaching us is, would you do it for no money? Of course, you couldn't, because you need to still, you know, supply food right. for your family, but we don't learn how to build things necessarily. I mean, we're held accountable to do it, but I think what you're sort of saying is resonates really well, is that delayed gratification, being pulled towards a vision, a future, mm-hmm. and that work ethic to be able to do whatever is necessary to get something done. That's great. So is that sort of the secret sauce that you notice in people who become quote unquote successful, that after that second year, the third year, now they're really bringing in the kind of money that we're hoping for? Is that the recipe, or is there other things that would be involved with that?
Well, there are lots of different pieces to this puzzle, just like any other business, because let's face it, direct sales network marketing is a business just like any other business, right? There's all different kinds of pieces to that puzzle. It's, you know, consistency, it's perseverance, it's having, you know, processes and systems in place that support, you know, your future success, you know, so that way when you don't feel like doing something, you're like, well, I can do one round of calls because I know exactly what to do because I've got a process in place of create the list, make the call, put them in the right bucket, and then go to the next call on my list, right? Once you've got that process in place, it supports your success, because then you go, well, I made one call, I can go ahead and make another, right? So it's that consistency, perseverance, processes in place, and you know, and again, the being willing to delay your gratification and say, you know, I understand that this is a marathon, not a sprint. I'm not going to necessarily get all the big riches now, because when you look at the people who, you know, the companies are putting up on stage back when we could actually go to conferences and conventions in person, right? Yeah. But those people that they're putting on stage, when you really look at their business, they've been doing it for years, right? And in many cases, oftentimes the people who give up are people who are within their first year. Yes. And they're comparing what their results are to these people who've been doing it for 20 years. And so what, you know, the conversation I'm having with my clients is, hey, you know, anytime they start bringing up, well, you know, my mentor is doing blah, blah, blah. That's great. How long has she been doing it compared to you?
Oh, 20 years. Yeah.
Yeah. She's got 5 years on me. She's got 10 years on me. Right. You know, in some cases, some people did start literally with their best friend. They were like, let's do the business together. Well, then that comparison, then it comes down to, okay, what's she doing differently?
So I want to get into one of the things that I think is really key that you've been talking about is this ability to handle rejection. And you haven't directly said it, but you've sort of said it in a way.
Yeah.
And I think you and I've talked about this. I mean, I started my business 28 years ago, and it was in or part of a network marketing company where I learned coaching, you know, and then I went, hey, this is really fun. I think I'm going to drop that and do this. So I understand parts of this, but what I realized, what you're saying around this having to face rejection without necessarily having a lot of reinforcement at that particular time. What do you coach people to do or to think, or how do you help them through rejection? Because rejection is something we all face. It's not just network marketing or direct sales or MLM. I mean, we face rejection in a company when I'm asking my boss for something and I'm told no, or I'm trying to get my team to rally around something and I get a lot of blank stares. You know, rejection is a fact of life. How do you coach people through that?
Well, I think it depends on what they were asking for, right? So in the conversation around the no with sales, okay, well, they just aren't into your product right now, right? Keep in mind, at any given time, only 3% of the population is actively searching for the solution to the problem you solve. Mm. Right? They know. Right? That's a really small number. Yeah, now, really here's small. The thing. Another 60-ish percent have the problem you solve, but it's not maybe their top of mind problem. Mm-hmm. So that's where, you know, building these relationships so that they go, hey, you know what? Maybe if I just take care of this problem that's maybe two or three on my list, will help give me the mental faculties to be able to handle problem number one, right? So it's working with my clients to help them identify, well, do they even know what problem they solve so that they can identify the people? So the rejection piece comes in. You can lower your amount of rejection if you know who you're talking to. If you're talking to the right people in the first place, your rejection is going to be less anyway. If you're trying to, know your audience and know what problem you solve.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm going to use the example of like oils, right? So there's 100 different oils at this oil company. You're not going to sit there and go, well, we solve everything. No. What was the problem that oils solve for you? You go find people who have that same problem and you sell the crap out of that one oil to those people. And then they go, so what other oils solve other problems now, right? Like yes. Get them on the one, right?
Yes.
So it's stop trying to sell to everybody, because that's the people who try to sell to everybody are the people who sell to virtually nobody,
right?
And get the most rejection and have to deal with it the most. So with my clients, what I'm working on is identifying those things so they don't have to hear no that often. And when they do hear no, it's not about you.
Right.
The no isn't about you.
Right.
You go, not the right person. Great. I don't have to follow up with them anymore. Check, yeah. Take them off the list. Like, this should be a little bit of a celebration. There's a book out there called Go for No, which explains some of that really well for people, which is if you can celebrate the no, the yeses are even better.
Yes. Well, there is a sort of a dichotomy, because a lot of people, I think, get into this kind of business in part because of their need for service and their need for connection. And if my need for connection has been obviously sort of cut short because all of a sudden somebody says no, then the reason why I'm in this in the first place seems to be, you know, off track, you know. So I have to sort of get my head around this the way you're saying, which is it gets me closer to a yes. We've heard that before. And it's not personal. It's about maybe it's not the right time or what have you. But these are skills, again, whether you're network marketing or MLM or direct sales, this is something that we all got to get better at. That's a big derailer for anybody, is being able to face the rejection. I want to ask you another sort of a segue on this is around, here's the question I wanted to ask first. Okay. Can you share with us a success story, somebody you worked with that you could just very briefly say, this is where they were and this is where they ended up, and kind of like how it happened, so that we kind of get some texture to all these concepts we're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started working with a gal about 2.5, almost 3 years ago. When we first started working together, she was barely making $100 a month. Ooh. with her side business, right? So she had been in it for just under a year, and her mentor left the business. The person who sponsored her left. And she was like, okay, I'm making an extra $100 a month, right? That is beneficial to my family, but now my mentor just left. Oh crap, now what? Well, then she found out about me, came my way, and we started working together. This past December, she just made it within the top 1% of her company.
Wow.
So
about what is that financially for her?
Right. So when she started working with me, and this is the deal I have with all my clients, whatever the price is when you start working with me, that's always the price that you're going to pay for the rest of the time you work with me. So that's your thank you for taking a chance on me in the beginning, because I had just started my coaching business when she and I started working together. So she pays me $100 a month.
And now she must be making a lot more than $100 a month.
Yeah. But here's the really cool thing, because she's able to say that now, as someone who's in the top 1% of her company, they're like, how did you get there? She's like, I have a coach. You want to meet her?
Yeah. And they go, so, absolutely.
And, you know, and during our coaching relationship, there were times when she stepped back from coaching because life happened. It wasn't all, you know, rainbows and roses the entire 2.5 years we've been together. She's had ups and downs, and, you know, being a coach, I'm not going to share all her stuff here, even though I haven't used her name, but one of the big changing moments for her was when she literally, and she didn't tell me this until recently, but last February, so a year ago this month, she was just about ready to quit her business. She was ready to quit the business. She was like, I'm done. This is, you know, whatever. And she was like, you know what? I'm going to do one last ditch thing. I'm just going to throw all of my, you know, all the things I've been saying no to, like, for example, picking up a phone and making actual phone calls. She had been relying on text messages and Facebook messages. Sound familiar to anybody listening right now? She decided to start picking up the phone and having conversations with people. And as soon as she started doing that, she went from almost ready to quit to, by the end of last February, had brought 12 people onto her team.
Wow.
In the previous 2 years, she had only brought on one, and she did 12 in a month. And since then, she's regularly bringing on 3 to 4 people per month. And so that's how she went from $100 a month to top 1% of her company.
So that's a pretty big shift. I mean, it's a shift of commitment that then resulted in these things that you just described. I mean, what is, because we have this thing called the business of intuition. So I want to tie it in here, but
yeah,
what role does that play, do you see, in your life or in the life of the people that you're coaching? Because we've got process, you said, that's important, and there's methods and there's books. Yeah. There's a lot of ways that we can hear other people describe what to do. And if you just do it the way I did it, then you should get the same result. We sort of have this hope that it's that simple, right?
Yeah.
Just do it the way I did it. It's very prescriptive. A plus B should equal C, you know, input equals output. So if we have that sort of mindset, and yet the world doesn't always work that way. How does intuition guide your people? How does intuition guide you when the process may not work?
Right. Well, I think that's part of, I think that the whole intuition thing, that is a big differentiator between the really successful people and the people who give up. Because the people who are utilizing their intuition over time are saying, I don't know why I feel like saying this, but I'm going to word it this way instead. And then they find it works. They're taking the system, the process that's been prescribed to them, do it the way I do it, do it the way the company says to do it. But then they tweak it and make it just a little bit their own, which is actually what you want to do, because you don't want to be using the same script as everybody else, because then you sound like everybody else. And now why should they buy from you instead of the other Mary Kay rep down the road? Yeah. Right? Because there's 30,000 of you in any given company. What differentiates you? So, you know, that the people who are utilizing that intuition, even if they don't know that they're doing it, right, they're probably not tapping into it. And I think, you know, it's once they realize they're doing it that they all of a sudden skyrocket.
Do you coach them to that?
Not necessarily. I'm really working with them to begin to understand. I'm helping them understand those things that I've talked about before, that what are the problems you solve, right? Let's look at it that way. Instead of trying to be so product focused, instead of push the oil, push the skin cream, push the lipstick, push the jewelry, whatever your product is, instead of pushing products, why don't you say, hey, do you have this problem? Cause I solve it, right?
Got it.
That's a much different conversation than, hey, buy my stuff.
Right. Understood. So you're basically solving problems and you're not trying to solve everybody's problems all at once. Obviously you're much more focused, because trying to be all things to all people is just a hot mess and it doesn't get you very far. And it's very disappointing. What about you personally? You've gone through, like we all have, ups and downs, I'm sure. We know each other a little bit, but what have you found that you decided to start a business or move your life to some other part of the world or whatever, because there was something intuitive in yourself that says, you got to do this, or likewise, you shouldn't do this, you know, and maybe you did or you didn't, but how does intuition play a part of your decision-making process?
Oh, I think it's a really big part, much more so now than it ever was before, because I've learned that when I follow it, good things happen, you know? So the first time it probably really showed up for me in my life, I had been in my direct sales business for about 5.5, maybe 6 years or so. And I remember I had earned a one-on-one lunch with the number one person in the entire company. So I was able to sit down with her. The nice thing was she also happened to be my mentor, the person who brought me into the business and helped groom me into the leader that I was. And I remember she asked me during our lunch, so where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I remember thinking for a minute, and then what came out of my mouth surprised me as much as I think it surprised her. But I said, you know, if I could find a way to get paid to help people be successful in this industry, that's what I want to do. And she goes, yeah, I don't know that that exists. I mean, that's, you get paid as a leader in our company to do that, right? The more people you help be successful, the more successful you are, you get paid for that. And I was like, yeah, that's not what I mean though. Like if I never had to do another jewelry party ever again, I'd be okay with that. Which, don't get me wrong, doing the jewelry parties was not a bad gig. I walked into someone else's house. They handed me a glass of wine. We drank wine, played in jewelry, and I walked out with anywhere from $200 to a $900 paycheck that night. Not a bad gig, right?
Yeah.
You know, if money is a driver for you, well, Evidently money's not a driver for me. What the driver for me was if, when it came down to it, if I had the opportunity to call a hostess or call someone on my team, I called someone on my team. I made less money on what the team member did. I was making 50% on anything that happened at the hostess's party. I made anywhere from 2 to 15% on my team member, depending on where she was in my downline.
Well, it's sort of like you aligned yourself to your values in some way. I'm putting words in your mouth, but I'm curious about the decision, that inner knowing that may have shown up during that conversation with that top performer. And when you said what you said, that was a little surprising. Was that something that you knew you were going to say? Was that your intuition sort of like deciding?
It just popped out.
What was that about?
Because I remember thinking, like, because I remember sitting there not having expected that question.
Yeah.
And going, oh, you know, just kind of pausing, you know, yeah, like,
what did they just say?
I gotta process this, you know? And then I said, and that's when I popped out with, well, if I could get paid, blah, 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 blah. And then I did have a moment of, holy crap, what just came out of my mouth? Right. Well, interestingly enough, I don't know, a few months later, the universe starts throwing business coaches in my path left and right. All of a sudden I was meeting literally every networking event I went to, I was meeting a business coach. And I was like, what the heck? And finally I had that like facepalm moment of, oh, the universe is like shaking me going, hey,
this is it.
Yeah. Cause I would talk to these coaches and I'd say, well, do you work with people in network marketing? Could you help me with my business? And all of them were like, no, I don't do that. You couldn't afford me. You know, no, I don't do that. You couldn't afford me. Right. And I went, oh, yeah. I can be a coach. Oh my gosh. I can help people. I can get paid to help people be successful. So yeah, it was this overtime thing that happened. And interestingly enough, that aha moment happened on a phone call with a high school friend of mine who had become a network marketing coach. Huh. And he was working with Mary Kay ladies out on the East Coast because he had built this like multi-million dollar Cutco business. And then people started hiring from him from like Mary Kay. And so he had this huge like group of Mary Kay people. He saw me posting about my business and he was like, ooh, maybe I can get my high school friend to hire me. He ended up turning me into a coach.
As I said, that's kind of how I started. I was coaching people to start and develop their network marketing companies. You know, that was what it was about. And that's all of the people that I had. It was all that. There was nobody else. And then it started to slowly trickle into other people outside of network marketing. And then it became a company. And then that company became a team, and all of a sudden, you know, over time network marketers start falling off, and that's how it started.
Exactly.
And I didn't know it was gonna go that way, but it did.
Right. And what was so interesting to me was he asked me the question. So where he basically did the same thing. So where do you see yourself? And I was like, you know, I gotta be honest. If I really look at where I'm going in my life, I'm either gonna end up as a chiropractor or a coach.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big believer in chiropractic and how it helps, you know, but I was like, I don't know if I really want someone's life in my hands. So yeah. I think maybe I'll go coaching, you know, but that was the moment. Cause I was like, oh my gosh, he coaches network marketers. Huh.
So this is good. I want to ask you something about that sort of moment when you got the aha and your intuition sort of decided to show up and tell you this. My sense, and I want to get your feeling on this, is that intuition is a reflection of some sort of truth, something that is the right thing for you, whatever it might be. But that doesn't necessarily mean that what it is that you have found is going to be easy to take on.
That Amen.
The aha may be as, I got to get a divorce.
Oh God. Yeah.
Or the aha is, I got to leave and move to the other side of the country. Or the aha is, I have to quit this job. And these are all things that may be true, but they are painful because they bring up fear, loss. And we might just simply say, I'm not going to pay attention to that. This intuition is BS. I'm going to go back to what I know.
Trust me. Oh yeah. I 100% agree, because even though I had those aha moments, like I said, I was still in my network marketing business for almost another year and a half between the time when I had the conversation with my mentor and when I had the conversation with my high school friend who was a network marketing coach. I still fought that whole idea, even with all these coaches that kept showing up in my life. I was like, no. Are you kidding me? I'm making really good money here. Yeah. No. What? I'm earning trips. No. Why would I want to, you know? And finally there came a point, and it probably won't shock anybody that it happened to me the week between Christmas and New Year's, when we're all looking at, okay, now what's next year? And I had this moment of, I think this is it. This is my next year is when I'm going to become the coach. And so that's when I really started doing that. And it was hard. It was not an easy decision, because as I started doing my research and figuring out, and, you know, because I didn't want to just say, okay, I'm hanging a shingle and I'm becoming a coach, because people don't know enough about me in my past to realize I've got a degree in psychology and a minor in interpersonal communications. I'm a former educator, so I know how to teach people and I know how people learn. Mm. So, but what most people knew about me at the time was direct sales, jewelry lady, and mom. Yeah. So I was like, all right, fine. I'm going to go get certified. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how that goes. So I went and got certified, and that was not easy, but it was certainly worth it.
So I want to play on one other thing that you just said that made me think of, the idea of intention, that you are giving us this time frame between Christmas and New Year's. And then this sort of came to you that this was something that might be important. But what I think is some of the things that happen that evoke intuition. Sometimes intuition shows up like an unwanted guest, you know, or a wanted guest. It's like, it just hits you. Like, wow, what is that? You know, I didn't expect that. You know, you just have a sense of that. You get to develop that and you trust it. And the other times you can ask a question and just let it sit there and see what starts to show up, meaning you set an intention and all of a sudden your intuition says, oh, we've been called up. It's now time to sort of let our full capacity to take in all the information, pattern recognition, all that synchronicity to take place. And then we're going to start giving you some answers based on this intention. Do you find that's what happens sometimes with you?
Yeah, I would definitely say that, you know, because like I said, it shouldn't shock anybody that it happened between Christmas and New Year's, because that's that time when most people start going, okay, 1 year done, new year in front of us. The common theme right now is new year, new me, new year, new you, whatever. And for me, it wasn't about new year, new me, but it was new year, what else is new? What else is coming up? What, you know, and so
there's the intention. There's the question.
Exactly. Right? That's the intention piece. And then that's when finally my intuition popped up and said, okay, you need to reach out to some of these coaches and go, you know, that's when I started reaching out to the ones who were certified, because some of my friends who are coaches have just, you know, come from experience and put up there that I'm a coach. Nothing wrong with that. Like I said, my reasoning was different. I didn't want people to, you know, go, jewelry lady, why you? Well, yeah, certified. I've been through training. I go through continual education. Right. And so I started reaching out to those certified coaches and saying, how did you get certified? What does that look like? How, you know, what's this coaching school that you went to? What's their philosophy? What's their whatever?
Right. And then you're off and running.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So, but it definitely started with that intention of looking at my life and going, okay, now what?
You know this, Jenny, you do podcasts, and I don't know where these conversations are going to go. When I start this, I got a couple of questions here that I'm thinking about, but then we go off on where we're going to go off. But I think that what you're kind of reminding me in this discussion is the courage to delay your gratification for something, whether it be in the line of work that you're doing or something else, like an employee in a job where they're working for somebody else. But also this idea around sort of setting the question out there, the intention, and then waiting for and being open to what comes to you. Because right now there's been a sort of a mindset, like we have to wait to get our life together again, you know, this whole COVID situation. And when, you know, so a lot of us, not everybody, but there's been times, even me, that just sort of felt a little hopeless. Like, when is this going to be over? I feel like I've lost my freedom and I can't move my life forward until these other things, you fill in the blank, happen. You know, so we're looking at the news all the time. But I like this idea, whether it's January 1st or whether it's February 1st, to do this intention thing and be empowered to put your life into a forward motion, maybe not knowing what it's going to look like, but sort of sitting back and waiting for it to happen, waiting for information to come to you. And that I think that gives you some sense of like, well, what's next? You know, where can we go from here, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of my all-time favorite quotes is from Martin Luther King Jr. And it's, you know, faith is taking the first step without seeing the entire staircase.
That's great.
Now, I grew up with that being my life. And yes, that's true for everybody. You're always never knowing. None of us have a crystal ball knowing what's coming in our future, right? But growing up in a military family, you really have no idea where you're going to be 30 days from now. Like your parent might get a call that day and you might be living in another state in a month. Wow. Like it can literally happen that quickly. So growing up with that as my life, from childhood, like it wasn't until I was like 12 before I realized not everybody's in the military.
Right.
You know, because my whole life was growing up on Air Force bases. So I thought everybody was in the military. It didn't occur to me until I was like 12 that I was like, wait a minute, there's farmers. Farmers don't move. Oh my God, farmers don't. There are people who have lived in the same house their entire life. Oh my God. Right. Yeah. So that, you know, that whole thing. So I've lived my whole life with the complete and utter knowledge that I have no idea what's coming my way. So I have two choices. I can be, oh, ho, hum, sad, pissed off, mad that I don't know what's coming my way. Or I can go, let's shoot for the good stuff.
That's great.
You know, let's plan for good things to happen. How about that? Cause those are really your two choices. Your two choices are you can dread what's coming or you can be excited for what's coming. And I really do choose to be positive and look forward to what happened. Does it mean that I haven't had shit hit the fan in my life? Sure. Trust me, it's hit the fan. I'm a divorced mom.
Yeah.
You know, stuff hits the fan sometimes, but you know, you still go, okay, well, if that wasn't meant to be, what is?
Yeah.
And what's the good things that have come from that, right?
Well, I just honor and appreciate your courage and your attitude around life and around your business and how you're being able to do so much good for so many people. And I wanted to ask, as we kind of close out here, how can people connect to you? What's coming up? I know you've got some things down the road here, not too far. So I want to give you a chance to plug it. So what's up?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So I do have my own podcast, of course. You mentioned before, the podcast is called Badass Direct Sales Mastery, where I am the direct sales dom who helps women and men whip their business into shape. So it's a fun, different take on the network marketing direct sales world. Instead of just the boring want sales conversations, we bring kink into the conversation and make it a lot more fun. So that's the podcast. But then I also do have a summit coming up. So the Badass Direct Sales Mastery Summit is happening March 18th through the 20th of 2021, because I know this is an evergreen podcast. So if people are listening going, oh man, I missed it. Guess what? I promise you there's going to be more, because I already know my first one has Jack Canfield and Dean Newland as presenters on the summit, in addition to 34 other amazing speakers. And the tickets for those are free. I do not want price to be a barrier to learning how to make your business better this year. So you just have to go to badassdirectsalesmastery.com and you'll see the summit right up at the top. Click on it and people can register right there to go be a part of the summit and see Jack Canfield for free. Where else can you say you're seeing Jack Canfield for free?
I once met the guy. He's just fascinating. He is a tremendous presence leader. He is the real deal. I am just really impressed by him. So, Greg, congratulations for getting that alone. Man, that's amazing. So, Jenny, so great to have you on the Business of Intuition. I'm so, so proud of what you're about. And just keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Dean. This has been a really fun conversation. Definitely different from every other podcast interview I've ever done. So, thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to The Business of Intuition. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about Dean or Mission Facilitators Leadership, go to mfileadership.com. That's mfileadership.com.